Hello and welcome to this WUIS Special Arts preview of the upcoming Illinois Symphony Orchestra Concert. I am Yona Stamatis, your host and Assistant Professor of Ethnomusicology at the University of Illinois, Springfield. In the studio today, Maestro Alistair Willis, conductor and music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, Dale Rogers, director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra Festival Chorus, and the multi-talented actor and musician Ralph Schenk. Welcome. We have gathered for a brief conversation about the upcoming Illinois Symphony Orchestra Lincoln Train Concert that will take place on Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium on the campus of the University of Illinois, Springfield. This concert is part of a weekend of events organized by the 2015 Lincoln Funeral Coalition. Of course, a central focus of this weekend is the arrival in Springfield of a replica of Lincoln's funeral train on May 2nd. Later that evening, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra will perform a concert dedicated to American masterpieces and to the train, featuring compositions by Aaron Copland, Arthur Honegger, George Gershwin, and Earl Robinson. That's Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium. For more information about the concert and to acquire tickets, please visit the website of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra at ilsymphony.org. Alistair, I understand this is the last Illinois Symphony Orchestra concert of the season, and what a way to end with such an enormous production that I understand is much more than a concert this time. What do you have in store for us?
Well, Yona, this is probably going to be the most important concert that I've ever conducted here. To be part of such a historical weekend is a huge honor, to be the main event of the Saturday evening, and to have the focus be the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. I mean, this is where dreams are made. And we came up, as you mentioned, with a Lincoln and a train-themed concert. We've got a huge piece in the second half I'll get to in a second, but the first three pieces on the first half, well, we started with Generic Railways, with John Henry, who had a connection with the railway, by Aaron Copland, starting with America's composer. You know, his sound immediately evokes the landscape of America. We have a piece next about a steam engine, a specific steam engine, the Pacific 231 by Arthur Honegger, which describes an amazing steam engine from rest, gathering up steam, building up speed, and then putting the brakes on at the end. It's a seven-minute piece of amazing music. And to end the first half, we are thrilled to present the orchestral suite from George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Mm. There's a train connection in that because Bess sings at the funeral scene. The train is at the station and you got to get on. But the Lincoln connection in that piece is much more. What with the African-American connection, it being an opera for African-Americans, about African-Americans, can only still be sung by African-Americans these days. Still today, that has been protected in the copyright. These three pieces are a wonderful link to, if you think those are specific for our concert, well, we take off in the second half.
And I think a Lincoln quotation actually from the second half seems to really apply to the pieces in the first half. He says something to the effect of, "I think God must have loved the common people. He made so many of them," which ties the concert together so very well. Perhaps we can move on to the second half now of the concert and talk about the largest piece on the program. Would you like to give us a little bit of background?
Well, this is a piece that I think was written for us. I mean, it feels like it anyway. The Lonesome Train by Earl Robinson. This is a piece which is perfect for our concert. At its root is community. We have a chorus. We have a gospel chorus. We have a balladeer. We have a narrator. We have a square dance caller. We have a soldier. We have the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. And so many people have come out to be a part of this. Why not start with a chorus if we can? And maybe we could ask Dale Rogers, who's with us, to tell us a bit about how we have come to get around 150 singers for this concert.
We have singers coming from Decatur, from Taylorville, from Jacksonville, from, of course, Springfield. But we have people driving over 2 hours to come to and sing with this chorus. For this, and so it's really incredible. I'm not quite sure how everyone has heard about it, but it's just a proof that the network out there of people who are interested in choral music is alive and well.
It's wonderful. And these are community people? Are these musicians, professionals, a mix?
A little bit of both.
Wonderful.
We have singers from Bloomington coming in. Of course, we're doing one of the performances in Bloomington, and so that's a natural connection. And then we have singers that have been a part of a variety of choral endeavors over the years, churches, oratorio singers, people who are regular features at Muni Opera and on stage. And so it's really wonderful to have all of these people together.
So there's obviously a story that runs along through the piece. There's narration. This was originally a radio cantata, if I understand correctly. So organized perhaps to be heard and not necessarily seen, but we get to also view it. Also in the studio today, we have our balladeer. Will you tell us a bit about perhaps yourself and also what is the role of the balladeer in this work?
I'm Ralph Shank. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a local musician and actor. I spent quite a bit of time in Austin, Texas before I came here, just playing in rock bands and that kind of thing. My first theater experiences were after I came here. And I've worked with, I end up getting tied into this show because I worked with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum for their production of The Civil War.
Oh, wonderful.
And played the Southern Captain for them. So I have experience with this kind of era and was suggested to Alistair that that I might be a good fit for this balladeer part. If you look at the original music, they actually call it the ballad singer. Hmm. And there are some beautiful pieces of music that the balladeer sings throughout this and kind of ties all the pieces, to the spoken pieces and choral pieces together. So this will be interesting to step in front of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra with a guitar and and sing to this audience. For me, this is very exciting.
Wow, wonderful. And obviously there's a story, a narration that goes throughout the piece. Will you tell us a little bit about it? Whoever.
The storyline kind of runs that, as people said, Elvis isn't really dead.
Right.
And so this is the 19th century version of Lincoln isn't dead. And so he was spotted in all of these locations throughout the country. And so he's first spotted in a church in Alabama, sitting on the back row. And for that scene, the Heritage Ensemble from Peoria are going to be featured. It's an African-American chorus that was assembled probably 25, maybe even 30 years ago for the production of Porgy and Bess. So we're back again with all of these interconnections. And then Lincoln is spotted at a square dance in Kansas, and then beside a soldier's bed in a soldier's hospital, and then finally in the crowd in Springfield, Illinois, at his own funeral.
And I understand he will be spotted on stage as well during the...
We have John O'Connor, who will be coming to do his impersonation for us. Yes, and he gets to speak lines. He doesn't have to act horizontal as if he is dead. He has some... we hear some of the immortal lines of Lincoln. And, of course, it's great to involve yet another community person in this show. John does a fantastic job.
Michael Burlingame, professor and holder of the Chancellor Naomi B. Lynn Distinguished Chair in Lincoln Studies at the University of Illinois Springfield. He has written numerous introductions to various pieces, and those will be read by various community members and visitors to the community. So we are very excited to add that into the program as well. I find it so interesting that this piece represents America orally, but so does, you know, the Copland, and they're so very different. And I wonder... Maybe we could try and figure out just a bit, what is it that differentiates Copland from, let's say, Robinson or the Gershwin, and makes it sound so much more American or differently American? How would you put that in words, perhaps?
I think Copland is probably the most famous classical composer that we know, and for a reason, because he had great training, European training, and studied in France, in Paris, for example, and really had a great education and a great thorough understanding of all the masters, master composers. Earl Robinson, I don't know that much about. He kind of took after where Gershwin left off in his connection with lighter music, perhaps not so seriously classical. And so I think the two composers can be seen in two very different lights, but certainly one as valid as the other, especially for what they gave to music. And that's I think, the beauty of music, in that you can have so many different styles and it still all be from the same melting pot, that in this case, still very much American music.
I find that at least the chorus parts very much tied to that period, since this piece is a theater piece or something that is to be heard, maybe not with all of the visual, but heard on the radio. The genre at the time that people were acquainted with was newsreels and music of theater. And so there are a lot of, I would tell the chorus, I say, well, this is when Charlton Heston comes on. You know, there's sort of the big Bible epic kind of moments. It certainly ends with that. And it has those kinds of images, and certainly the train figures largely in this piece.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, anything we've left out that we should mention about this upcoming concert?
Get your tickets soon, because we are selling really well. There are thousands of people descending upon Springfield for this incredible historical weekend.
I heard it's hard to get a hotel room. We don't know where we're going to park. It's a huge,
if not impossible,
huge event. Yeah.
And the concert is selling out. Is selling out. So don't miss this incredible musical experience. We're so thrilled to be part of this.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. You have been listening to a brief conversation with Maestro Alistair Willis, choral director Dale Rogers, and actor and musician Ralph Schenck about the upcoming Illinois Symphony Orchestra Lincoln Train Concert that will take place on Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium here on the campus of the University of Illinois, Springfield. This is certainly a major community event not to be missed. On the program, compositions by Copland, Honegger, Gershwin, and Robinson. Again, this concert is part of a weekend of events organized by the 2015 Lincoln Funeral Coalition in honor of Abraham Lincoln on the 150th anniversary of his passing. For more information about the concert and to acquire tickets, please visit the website of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra at ilsymphony.org. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Jonas DeMattis. See you next time.